All right, let's open up tonight in our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We're going to be looking at a very familiar story. Anyone who's spent any time around church or in the Bible probably knows the story of Zacchaeus. Well, Zacchaeus is a story that's told that obviously points up some truths about salvation. And we certainly want to look at some of those truths tonight. Truths about salvation and coming to the Lord. But also there's something else in Zacchaeus, I think, that's very interesting. And that is that salvation is really just the beginning. It's the end of the old life, the beginning of the new. When Zacchaeus comes to the Lord, he comes with joy. But it's just the start for him. He's about to begin a new walk with Jesus Christ. And as he begins that walk, he does so with joy. So tonight we're going to be looking at some truths, not only about salvation, but also about our walk with God and about knowing God's will in our lives and about walking with Him. That's why tonight's message is entitled Joy in Jesus. Your walk with the Lord begins in joy, continues in joy, and will end in joy. So let's take a look at Luke 19. Just by way of reminder, Jesus had come out of old Jericho and was heading now across that 1 mile distance to New Jericho, built by Herod the Great. As he came out of old Jericho and approached the new one, he healed blind Bartimaeus. And now he's coming to New Jericho, and that's where we pick up in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, 'He's going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" As the story is related to us, Jesus is passing into Jericho. He comes in and there's a man named Zacchaeus. That tells us a few things about him. He was probably Jewish, very likely. Zacchaeus was a Hebrew name. Zacchaeus is a name that means pure or righteous one. Now, if anyone ever didn't live up to their name, it was Zacchaeus, because he was, as it says here, a tax collector, and not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector, and he was rich. In order to understand this, you have to know that tax collectors then were different than tax collectors today. Tax collectors today simply take a civil service exam and pass all the tests and get their job. Tax collectors in that day paid money to be a tax collector. And the reason why they paid money was because the job paid well. How much did it pay? Whatever you could get from the people. Your job was simply to collect a set amount of taxes for Rome, and whatever was left over was yours. So the more you could collect, the more you could keep. Now, Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector. He was a supervisory position. He was the chief tax collector. So he was over all the other tax collectors. So he would lean on them, so they would lean on the people. And the more they made, the more Zacchaeus made. So can you imagine living in Jericho and knowing Zacchaeus and passing him on the street and waving to him and saying, "Good morning, righteous one"? Kind of probably didn't happen too much. Probably even too many people didn't really want to say hi to him at all. And he was hated. He was hated and despised by the people that he was ripping off. He was hated by Pharisees because, well, he was dealing with Romans. Hated by Sadducees and lawyers and scribes. He was even hated by the poor because he was ripping them off. So here's Zacchaeus. very wealthy, well-placed, and he'd heard about Jesus. Now, he wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't because of his short stature. And I think there was more going on than that. You see, Jesus, well-known as he was, Zacchaeus had heard about him, wanted to be part of the crowd, but didn't dare to be, I don't think. Because among the guys who were following Jesus was one who was called a zealot. Remember him? The zealot. Zealots were people who were Hebrews, but they absolutely hated the Romans for ruling over them. And so the zealots had devised a little, today we would call it a terrorist tactic. They would take a sword about this long so it could be hidden under the robes, and they would move through a crowd. And when they saw a Roman soldier, they would just come up next to him, pull out the sword, stick it in, pull it back, and go on their way. And another one bites the dust. So I don't think Zacchaeus felt very safe being in a crowd. Certainly if there were no zealots, certainly the people would be rude to him and push him and elbow him. And I don't think it would be pleasant for Zacchaeus to be in a crowd at all. So he was too short to see over the crowd. I don't think he felt safe being in the crowd. So he finds a sycamore tree. And this will tell you how much he wanted to see Jesus. Sycamore trees are known for having very slippery bark. And the first branches are always a good stretch up. It's not like an apple tree where you can just find a branch almost ground level and get in. So Zacchaeus had to do a couple of things. He ran, which no self-respecting Hebrew would do, undignified. And he climbed a tree. Now Zacchaeus was probably pretty well dressed, so I want you to picture this. I want you to picture today the equivalent would be an IRS agent with a name badge and everything running down the street, coming to a sycamore tree, skinnying up the thing and getting up on a branch and sitting there in a $1,000 Armani suit with his little feet swinging off the edge. Now, you know, that's got to attract attention. Well, here's Zacchaeus up in this tree. Jesus comes by, and as he's walking through, he stops and looks and sees a little man up in a tree wearing an Armani robe. And he says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." He invites himself over to the house of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus receives him joyfully. He goes into the house. And at this point, the scene is closed off to us. They're in the house, and what goes on inside the house, we don't know. We know outside the house, people are murmuring, this man, guest of sinners, comes to our town, and he immediately finds the nearest sinner and goes in and eats with him. So outside, all the murmuring and gossiping and backbiting going on. Meantime, inside, I believe that Jesus is revealing the truth to this man. The truth about who he is, what he came to do, and what was available to Zacchaeus right now at this very moment. Inside that house, I believe that Zacchaeus was saved. When the door opens and we see them again, Zacchaeus comes out and stands with the Lord and apparently is a changed man. Because he says a couple of things. He says, "Look, Lord, I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor. And if I've stolen anything, if I've stolen anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold." So he comes out extremely wealthy. And he says, "You know, Lord, I've got more than I could possibly use, certainly more than I need now that my life has changed. So I'm just going to slice it right down the middle, give half to the poor. And then you know what? If I've stolen anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold." Now that's a real change of heart. Because under the Mosaic law, there were three ways to deal with a thief. If a thief stole something, but hadn't fenced it or sold it or enjoyed it himself, if he still had it in his hand, repented and came and returned it, there was a penalty associated because he'd stolen it. But the penalty was light because he'd repented. So he'd restore what he'd stolen plus 20%. So if I grabbed a $100 bill off your kitchen table while I was visiting, stuffed it in my pocket, left, and then came back and said, "Gosh, I'm sorry, I don't know what came over me. I got to pay you $120. Well, that was the first level. The second level was, you stole it. You didn't have time to get rid of it. You were caught with it, so it could be returned. Now, in this case, it's a little more serious because you didn't repent and come back. But at the same time, they want to give you credit for the fact that maybe you might have. They don't know because you've still got it. So in this case, the penalty was you repaid double. So that $100 bill now turns into two C notes that I owe you. But if you had stolen something and fenced it or sold it or enjoyed it yourself and it was gone and you couldn't restore it, it was obvious that your intent was to thieve it and to enjoy it, so the penalty became more serious yet and you would restore fourfold. So now that $100 bill, I have to pay you $400 back. Zacchaeus comes out and he says, I'm going to take half of everything and just give it to the poor. Out of the half that's left, if I've stolen anything, he's a tax collector. If I've stolen anything, but nobody collects taxes in here for a living, do they? Because I don't want to be audited. You won't find anything. I just don't want to go through it. It's a drag. But he said, if I've stolen anything, and he brings the heaviest penalty upon himself, fourfold. Now he's giving it back, but he's still going to pay the heaviest penalty. And Jesus pronounces over him and says, today salvation has come to this house. Because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Now let me say a few things about salvation, first of all. Because that's the major message of the story of Zacchaeus. It's the story of a man who was a sinner, despised by people, and yet accepted by God. He comes to God and there's a change in his life. And Jesus pronounces over him, this one also is the son of Abraham. Salvation has come to this house. So a few ideas about salvation. First of all, you don't have to twist God's arm. Some people think that salvation is something where you have to convince God. You have to do something great to get his attention, some great pledge or vow in your life, some great sacrifice or work. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Because the Son of Man has come to seek, to look for, even if you're not looking for him, and save that which was lost. So the first truth about salvation is you don't got to twist God's arm for it. He wants to save you. The second truth is you have to want it as well. God won't force it on you. Zacchaeus was willing to run down the street, lose his dignity, skinny up a sycamore tree and find a branch and sit in it and look like an absolute idiot sitting there in his $1,000 Armani robe. But he wanted it. He'd heard that there was somebody out there who had compassion on sinners. And despised by everyone in town, he turns to Jesus for his compassion. So not only is God willing to save you, but you've got to want it. He won't force it on you. When Jesus came to him, he received him joyfully. There's only two places in the Bible where Jesus invites himself to dinner. Many people invited him, but only twice does he actually invite himself to someone's home. Here's one. Where's the other one? Where is it? You could make a case for that. But this one's very blatant and obvious, though. Very easy to see. Behold, I stand. Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus invites himself. So it only happens a couple of times, so it's significant, I think. So Jesus invites himself to dinner. Zacchaeus comes down and receives him joyfully. And this is the way salvation works. One of the signs that you've been saved is that your heart has been filled with joy. And it can't ever be taken from you again. I've shared with you guys so many times about my coming to the Lord and how my life was an absolute disaster. My relationships were just a disaster. My finances were a disaster. Nothing could be more wrong than my life was at the moment that I was saved. And at the moment that Jesus came into my heart, I was filled with joy. And it couldn't be taken away. My finances didn't get any better right away. They did over time. I had to work at this situation. And God began to build a new life for me. But even though I was often discouraged about finances, I never lost my joy. And my relationship that I was in, the wife that was living with me, had decided that she didn't want to live with a man who'd made this commitment. And so she filed for divorce and I lost my family. And there were times when I was sad and there were times when I was depressed, but I never lost my joy. It couldn't be stolen from me. Because it exists in a place where no one can reach. It was in my heart. And so when we come to Jesus Christ, one of the truths of salvation is, one of the marks of salvation is that your life is filled with joy. And of course, if you come to the Lord, your life is going to change. And that's another sign that you've truly been saved. It's not that you speak in tongues or you join a certain denomination or anything. It's that your life is changed. And Zacchaeus walks into that house, a man whose life was like a black hole. He sucked things in from other people. He collected taxes. And his entire focus was on how to take what is yours and make it his. And his life was just like a black hole sucking money in. Now he comes out and he's a changed man. And suddenly the focus of his life, instead of sucking your money into his life, is taking his money and pushing it back out into your life. And so we see that he's a changed man. Some truth about salvation. You don't have to twist God's arm to get it. He's more than willing. You do have to want it if you receive it. Then your life will be filled with joy and your life will change. Now, those are the things that we typically say when we talk about the life of Zacchaeus. We talk about salvation. But realize that salvation is the end of your old life and the beginning of your new life. It's like a doorway that you pass through and everything becomes new. Behold, the old things pass away. And so Zacchaeus here begins a new life. And as he begins his new life with God, well, there's some things I want to say about having a new life with God. Because as you begin to walk with God, as your life changes, one of the things you're going to want to know is God's will for your life. Father, what would you have me do? What was the first thing that Paul said? Lord, who are you? What was the second thing he said? Lord, what would you have me do? So Paul was ready to begin walking with the Lord. Now, Zacchaeus is ready to begin his walk with the Lord, and perhaps that's you. Maybe you're fairly new in your faith. Maybe you've been with Jesus for a long time, but you just want to walk with him more deeply than you ever have before. So the question comes to our minds, how can I know God's will? I want to let you in on a very small secret about knowing God's will. It's not a difficult thing, because remember, God is willing. He doesn't hide his will from you. He doesn't make his will hard to find. He's willing for you to find his will, just like he was willing for you to be saved. The key to finding God's will, though, well, think about what we so often do in our lives. How many of you have come to God with a plan in your heart, something that you've devised and you want to do, and you've spoken to God about it, and you've said, God, here's my plan. Now bless it. How many of you have asked God to bless your plan? You came up with a fine idea, great idea for the kingdom, and you want God to bless your plan. Listen, God is not specifically interested in blessing your plans. God is very, very interested in revealing his plans to you and having you get on board with his plan and bless his plan. So it's not always about getting God to bless your plan. It's about seeing God's plan, getting on with it, and blessing God. That is what it means to walk with God. That's what it means to know the Father's will. How can I know? Well, look at Jesus. Jesus comes to Jericho, and I'm certain as he was walking through, he knew the Father had things for him in Jericho, appointments. And as he's walking through Jericho, he might have been saying to himself something like, well, Father, here we are. Jericho, next stop, Jerusalem. But here's this last city. I have time. One more thing. And as I pass through, Father, what's your will for my life? And as he's praying, he looks and there's a man sitting in a tree in an expensive robe. Aw, Dad, you're up to something here, aren't you? He simply had his eyes open and he was watching for the things that God might be doing. So one of the great secrets to finding God's will in your life and walking with him is just keep your eyes open and watch for the things that God might be doing. Does somebody stop you and ask you for directions? Does a cashier at the store say, great morning, isn't it? Do you find someone with a flat tire? Do you see someone who looks like they could use help, who looks discouraged, depressed, looks like they could use something? You just keep your eyes open. God is doing things all over the place, all the time. You just keep your eyes open and watch for what God's doing. There's a man sitting in an expensive robe in a tree. Aw, Dad, you're up to something here, aren't you? Zacchaeus, come on down, man. I'm going to come eat with you tonight. So Jesus was a master at keeping his eyes open and seeing what God was doing. He was always looking for that opportunity, that open door. And when he saw it, he just went right through and took it. So we have to learn to keep our eyes open. I'm so guilty of this. I'm so guilty of being here in the church, having my church mentality on. Oh, you know, I'm the pastor now. People call and we talk with them and people come and we counsel with them. And then it's 5 o'clock. Look at this, I get to go home. And I get in the car and I turn it off. Because now I'm headed home. I've got to get home. So, you know, 5 o'clock, punch the card. See you later, God, tomorrow. Do you realize that when you step out the doors of the church is when ministry begins? Because now you're walking among the unsaved. Now you're walking among people who need God. And so one of the things we have to do is learn not to turn it off. Keep our eyes open and watch for what God's doing so we can get on board with it and bless His plan. Now that Jesus has shown this to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus has been changed. And what do you know? Zacchaeus begins to act a little bit like Jesus. See, in the house, something significant had happened. Jesus had revealed to Zacchaeus who he was and the fact that he'd come to save him. And as he spoke these words with Zacchaeus, he began pouring out into Zacchaeus' life God's goodness and God's grace and His mercy, forgiveness. And so Zacchaeus is now being filled up by the Lord Jesus Christ for absolutely nothing. Do you suppose anyone ever gave this guy something for nothing? They gave him things because they had to. And if he needed anything, I bet he paid twice as much at the store as anybody else did. Nobody ever did anything for him for free. Now Jesus comes and for free begins to pour God's heart into Zacchaeus' heart and changes him. So now Zacchaeus, with a new life, turns around and walks out the door, and he's a changed man. So what does he do? He begins to take the one thing he has, money, and begin to pour it out, just as Jesus had poured into him. Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. Nobody's twisting his arm. He just simply comes out, and he wants to, just like the Father wanted to bless him. He comes out and says, half of everything I give to the poor. And if I've stolen anything, just like my Savior is on the way to take the greatest penalty in His life, I take the greatest penalty. I restore fourfold. And so Zacchaeus now, his eyes open to see what the Father is up to. His only example, Jesus before him, who just poured his heart out for free, he now begins to emulate his Savior and pours his wallet out for free. It's all he's got. He's not a theologian, he doesn't know much, but he does have bucks. And so he simply begins to do what he sees the Father doing. He hops on board the Father's plan and begins to pour himself out. And he's not forced, he's not coerced, he does it with joy. Trademark of a Christian, a changed life filled with joy. We recently finished that garden area on the side of the church here. And it's a great place to go and spend some time quietly with the Lord, to go and sit in fellowship with friends. If you really want to understand the Father's heart, if you want to know more intimately God's will for you, and you want it in a visual way that you can see it, I encourage you at some time, either tonight or maybe tomorrow when the office is open or Sunday when we're here, I encourage you to go out and spend some time in the fountain area. The fountain consists of four trays. Big one on the bottom and three more on top, each one progressively smaller. There's a pump that fills the small tray on the top. Now when that tray is full, the water pours out over a lip, over the edge of the lip, and it fills the tray below it. That tray fills up, receiving from above and then spilling out on the tray below it. And that tray fills the bottom tray finally. And I can't think of a better visual for understanding the heart of the Father than to just spend some quiet time and sit and look at that fountain and understand that's what God's up to in your life. He simply comes looking for you. You aren't looking for Him. This is how willing God is. And when He finds the slightest response on your part to His offer of salvation, He begins to pour His heart out into your heart, and He fills your heart with God. And as your heart fills to overflowing, to the point where it can't contain it, then torrents of living water begin to spill out of you. and they seek the lowest level. They look for someone else who's even worse off than you are, someone who doesn't have Jesus yet. And then you begin to pour yourself out into that person's life. And then they become filled and they begin to pour themselves out into someone else's life. I can't think of a better visual of God's love than watching a fountain. The water has no hesitation. It's not constrained. It simply pours itself out. And if you want to hear the sound of joy, listen to a fountain, water pouring from one tray into the next tray. Gladly, willingly, just easily pouring itself out. Spend some time, if you want a good visual, looking at the fountain and just thinking about the Father pouring His heart out into you. God is so willing. And if you give your life to God, He will fill your heart with joy. You'll begin a new walk. You want to know God's will. And then the secret is so small and so simple. Just keep your eyes open and watch what your Father's doing. And then you do it too. Whenever you see God at work, instead of asking Him to bless your plan, you just say, Father, I want to bless your plan. I want to come alongside of you and work and be a part of what you're doing. And then just as your Father has poured Himself out into you, you now pour yourself out into the next person. Nothing could be simpler. Walking with God and knowing His will is the simplest thing in the world. So many people stress and obsess over this. It's just keeping your eyes open to see how your Father works. Then you hop on board His plan and say, Father, let me bless you. And you begin to pour yourself out as well. The life of Zacchaeus. It's a story of salvation. To know that God is willing, and the slightest response on your part will cause God to fill your heart with joy and change your life. But it's also a story of a new beginning. Because once you receive that joy, now you begin to walk with God. And if you want to walk with God effectively, if you want to know His will, just keep your eyes open. Watch for what God's doing right around you. Hop on board. And then just do what you see God doing. Just begin to pour yourself out on other people. Nothing could be simpler. Nothing could be sweeter. Nothing in my life has ever been as big a blessing as this. So, Father, tonight I want to thank You for this short, simple, sweet story of a little man who is despised by the world and loved by God. A little man who was willing to go to great lengths to see Jesus, and a Savior who was so willing to come and pour Himself into that man's life. And Father, now we know Your secret. Finding Your will never be a tough one for us again. It's just watching for what You're doing right around us. Hopping on board Your plan. Pouring our lives out just as You poured into us. Father, thank You for making this so simple, so joyful. Because God, walking with You is just a blast. We love You. And we love to be with You. In Jesus we pray.